So to make the story short, the wisdom is endless, but the time is always limited. So we have a lot to study, a lot to practice, and a lot of time we need to make a sense of our lives. But anyway, I emphasized that it is very useful for understanding Buddhism to see the different aspects of explanation, how they develop from the basic ideas which are the same. So we can use the same basic ideas to develop all kinds of structures, but finally we have to return to the same roots. And here in Buddhism, the root of Buddhist wisdom is a root is rooted in this concept of emptiness. Now, emptiness in actually in Sanskrit or even in Hindi nowadays means zero. In order to understand something, we have to start from the zero. We don't take any premises that it must be like this, it must be like that. This is emphasis of Buddhism. See by yourself, see directly. Now, we come to the observation of the dhammas, which actually here means observation of the mental phenomena which bring us to the breakthrough. In order to liberate from suffering, we have to collect in our mind the phenomena which make the breakthrough. According to Yogacara, we are talking a little bit about Yogacara, which is has the most deep analysis of the mind. All of these are just images. It doesn't matter if they are good images or bad images. You put images into your mind, either they correspond to your experience or they don't correspond to your experience. In Theravada we call them the panyatis, or the concepts which are true, vijamana, which exists in our experience, and the concepts which don't exist in our experience. The concept of hardness of the earth exists in our experience, but the concept of being does not exist in our experience. We bring it through these images that we develop in the mind. Now, the wisdom of Buddhism starts with impermanence. So same, the analysis of the phenomena, when you have understand the real phenomena which have been discussed, on which we have meditated, then you bring them together on the experience of impermanence. So the observation of the phenomena starts with observation of impermanence. For observation of the impermanence, you don't need a very thorough one-pointedness. It's enough to have the approximate samadhi which enables you to see the arising and the passing away of the phenomena moment by moment. So we have the shamatha samadhi in Buddhism, and we have the vipassana samadhi. The real vipassana is also samadhi. Samadhi means correct application of the mind to the object. Correct application means the application of mind which is balanced. In vipassana, when we want to succeed in vipassana, we also have to balance the mind on these differentiated images. In shamatha, we balance the mind on the non-differentiated images. And we can alternate according to the need, as we have learned. And this is a principle of shamatha. But the root of all this is that we have the balance in the mind. And this balance in the mind is prashrabdhi. The pliancy, or I use the translation, relaxation and clarity. When you have relaxation and clarity, you have happiness. That's why, according to the northern tradition, this sukha, actually, because in third dhyana you don't have strong bodily sensation, is explained as prashrabdhi also. This pleasant feeling is not based on the body, but is based on the relaxation and clarity. That is a real mental fulfillment, which penetrates the whole body. That is why sukha is normally the experience of the bodily happiness, but here is the happiness of which penetrates all the chetasikas, or the mental factors which form the mind. So mind is also the body. Now you have to see this body, the whole body, in the state of impermanence. And this whole body is our world. This is our world, is mental world. Because we have different mental worlds, we have different reactions. This should be clear. But all this is in the state of impermanence. That one has to see. Our world are the five aggregates, there is no other world. So in the five aggregates there is the bondage, in the five aggregates there is a liberation. But we have to understand them in the process of impermanence. So the observation of the phenomena, mental phenomena, which are real concepts corresponding to our experience, is the observation of impermanence. Now, our text we have learned this observation of the impermanence, then you can do even in counting, because in counting you can have attain also a great degree of concentration. So when you observe the skandhas, you will go through these objects of wisdom which are the true to our experience, and you can get already the insight into the ultimate reality, direct insight. But in the Theravada is different. It is not based what we have on the Anapanasati Sutta, but it is already interpretation. And on this interpretation is based this text. But it is not the original meaning of the Anapanasutta. In Anapanasutta, after Anicca Anupassi, contemplating impermanence, you have Viraga Anupassi. We have learned Viraga, the detachment, belongs to the path of meditation, which brings us to the state of arahat, then cessation. But here, because you observe impermanence, it is logical. When this observation goes into depth, you don't see any more arising, you only see the passing away. In the language of Visuddhimagga, your experience is like bubbles bursting in the water. And indeed, in the scriptures, the Vedana sensation, which is the base for our experience, is to be contemplated like bubbles bursting in the water. The form is like a foam, and the sensations is like the bubbles. So, when you see like that, then you can detach. when you detach, then you observe cessation, nirodha, nirodha anupasi, after detachment, nirodha anupasi, asasisamiti sikhati, nirodha anupasi, pasasisamiti sikhati. While breathing in and breathing out, be it a long or short breath, I observe the cessation. Now, according to the interpretation you find in Theravada, very wonderful, you have two kinds of cessation. You have the worldly cessation and the ultimate cessation. So you study the practice of the path of seeing, the practice of the path of meditation is observing the cessation, both the cessation in the relative sense, which belongs to the phenomena, which belongs to the five aggregates, and then the cessation in the highest sense, the highest truth. According to Mahayana, there is only one truth. The cessation in the highest sense is nothing but the emptiness. But the cessation in the relative sense is also emptiness. That makes sense? But the here, by observing the cessation of the world, of the five aggregates, of that which you can hold, you, so to say, penetrate deeper and deeper into the ultimate emptiness, which does not belong to anyone. This is what brings you to the understanding that this cessation of the five aggregates, which are our world, also does not belong to anyone. This is a breakthrough. If the ultimate cessation does not belong to anyone, how can this cessation based on the world belong to someone? Then, patinisaga anupasi, asasisamiti sikhati, patinisaga anupasi, asasisamiti sikhati, pasasisamiti sikhati. I learn to see patinisaga, wonderful world, nisarga, you just let go, abandon, throw away. The process of liberation is a process of throwing away. What do you throw away? The defilements which binds you to the possession of these aggregates. Throw them away. Now how is this the Visuddhimagga gives a very wonderful comparison, story, which explains the situation of breaking through and going deeper and deeper. In the olden times, in the times of Buddhaghosa, who compiled the Visuddhimagga, there was no compass, right? Compass came much later, from China, sometimes in 14th century or 15th century. Then they did not have compass. How do they sailors know the direction? By observing the stars. They were experts observing the moon, observing the sun. Then they know the direction. Aha, we go there, then we will attain our aim. So they dare to go a little deeper into the sea. Otherwise they have to keep always along the coast, no? But because they know the stars, they know the calculations, sun, moon, then they were experts in the old times, the sailors. Then they can dare to go a little deeper. Then suddenly the, especially in the northern part of the world, the big clouds come and one does not see anything. No stars, no moon, no sun. So what do they do? The sailors keep the samudakaka, how to say, the ocean crow. They keep a special crow. They keep them in the cages. Then when they cannot see the stars, cannot see the sun, cannot see the moon, they release this crow. And what the crow will do? It turns around the mast, you call on the ship, turns around the mast, and when goes little further, when it does not see any land, it goes, gets tired, so comes back to sailors, because it needs to eat. So they feed it some fish, and then they know now no land nearby. So then they try again, feed it on some fish, and throw it again. So again it has now some energy, so it goes around, flying around the mast, still no land nearby, gets very tired, so needs to eat. So again it rests, they feed them some more fish, wait another day. Then if no sun coming, no clarity comes in the sky, so they again lance it into the sky. Then again goes around and around and around, and suddenly crack, 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 flies in that direction. So they know in that direction must be the land, so they direct the boat, the steering wheel, towards the direction, and they succeed to regain the sight of the land. They don't perish in the great ocean. Similarly, the meditator, he meditates the impermanence, turns around the five aggregates, turn around this world, turn around his boat. Then when he does not see anything where to where he can find peace, where he can find a stable basis again, so he returns to the boat. The boat is kind of a stable basis, but it is very unstable. It is lost in the great ocean. So they lance it again, lance it again. When it gets tired, they feed it again. And it goes on circulating, until it finds the security and flies in that direction. Similarly, the meditator, he on this boat of five skandhas, he meditates on the impermanence, turns around, when it is tired, so gets some energy again, goes into shamatha, relaxes in clarity and in relaxation, then gets some more forces, again lances this mind into the impermanence, flying around the aggregates, until the great discovery of the security comes, and it flies in the direction of security of the continent, where he can live in peace. And so this is very nice comparison. So from the point of view of this analytical wisdom, you always just meditate on the impermanence until the mind will turn in the new dimension which you have found. But it is not mentioned that you meditate on this new dimension as your own nature or as a natural state, no? And it is very useful also, it is no reason why not to combine this nirvana nobody has created, so it is a natural state. But we don't know our natural state, but we can understand it by logic, we can understand it by all kinds of skillful means. Now, it is possible to combine these two approaches, and they must be combined in order to make the breakthrough. Otherwise, no breakthrough will ever come. For the breakthrough, you need analytical wisdom to put the correct concepts into the mind, and you also need, but by dividing, you will never get the ultimate reality. You can only get the ultimate reality by getting beyond dividing. Because dividing is naturally bound to discrimination. And in Nirvana there is no discrimination. So that's why we explained before, practicing metta, if you understand metta, is coming, or compassion is coming closer to this wisdom of differentiating without differentiating. That is a state of liberation. You see very clearly, this is a person I like, this is a person I don't like, this is a person, but you see them equally, with an equal mind. This is the ultimate wisdom. It does not mean you don't differentiate, you are blind. You can differentiate what is beautiful, what is not beautiful. But you do not cling to these differentiations because they come from emptiness. These divisions comes from emptiness. So there is dualistic thinking, but this dualistic thinking exists in the emptiness. It does not exist as in terms of discrimination, but it exists in terms of emptiness. Now the difference is, in the Southern tradition, we emphasize the emptiness of the person, because a person is a main point of grasping and of rejection. But because of the emptiness being the only reality, the non-dual approach emphasizes not just emptiness of a person, of the five, but of the all phenomena without exception. And in the teaching of the Northern Buddhism, then this love and compassion, similarly to Western religion in a way, is the also part of the ultimate reality. Because it does not grasp anywhere. And so you have the non-self of the persons, you have the non-self of the things. The Arahat also sees the non-self of the things, but he does not see the emptiness as the only reality. This is also just a theory, but very helpful theory, because you put this concept of the emptiness being the only characteristic of all the phenomena, as we chant the Heart Sutra, deeply into your mind. So why don't you get angry? because that person's nature is nirvana, is Buddha nature. That why you should not get too attached, because that person's nature is nirvana. Nirvana you cannot possess. And so it is very helpful. And finally, all the dharmas are in ultimate, when one understands ultimate, you should not hold to them. They are there, explained in Yogacara. The meaning of dharma means just the word, concept. But the whole world of difference is the right concept and the wrong concept. We are mostly using the wrong concepts. So these images in the mind, they are not real, but they make our world. And when one has the direct experience of the object of liberation, then these images cease to present a reality to be grasped, because they come from the mind which does not have a holding in its nature. It has holding because of bringing the ultimate reality into the names, into the concepts. This what is responsible for our holding. So in order to understand the reality, you have to go through this process of impermanence, detachment from impermanence, the observation of the cessation, and then you are able to throw everything overboard. And here it is explained in our text as three domains. Domain of path of seeing, domain of path of meditation, and domain of the arahat, who has thrown everything. So no one can catch him, so he is free, as the Dhammapada explains, like the bird in the sky. So that much for today. We can do some questions and answers, because our time is limited, wisdom is not limited, so we have a lot to think about, to digest. The good digestion in the gross sense is the support of our health. Without that, we very difficult to practice good mental digestion. But most important for health is a mental digestion. So we have food for mental digestion. When we can practice well mental digestion on the base of good food digestion, the Dhamma is also the food, finally. When you learn Abhidhamma, the first sentence in Abhidhamma is Sabbe Satta Ahara Titika. All the beings are based on food, on the material food and on the mental food. When we have good material food and good mental food, we can live fulfilled life. But the material food will never do. It has to be combined with the mental food. But material food will help to digest also the mental food. But mental food will also help to keep the material food digestion in order. They are connected. So that much for today. We have only half an hour. Sara is very strict with so we should take it seriously. And what is the next point of program?
We sit.
Sit, huh?
Sit for half an hour.
Half an hour. Huh?
Yeah.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.